Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. I am your host, Jacob Bradley, and before we introduce our guest today, I would like to explain exactly what this podcast is going to be like. Now, for starters, there's been a lot of negativity that goes on throughout the world, especially in the last 2 years now, which is crazy to even say that it's been 2 years, but the whole point of this podcast is to take our familiar faces that we've seen throughout Oswego, whether that be on the TV side, whether that be just in day-to-day classes, and get to know the person below them, you know, inside of them, I guess would be the better phrase. But as far as a few more things before I introduce my guest, I want to thank anybody that has either said that they're excited for the podcast or sent me a nice DM or a text or whatever. It's always greatly appreciated. If you followed along before I even started in the Media Orgs and you listened to the old Tell Them About That podcast, this is a very similar concept, except instead of reminiscing, it's more of a learning about. So if you're still following along, obviously super appreciative for that. Everybody that listened to that gave me a whole lot of confidence to be able to do what I do today. And my final point today is that I just want to make this very clear, a little bit of a disclaimer, so to say. This is not like some sort of thing where I sit here and I'm going to practice a counseling session with my guest. That is not at all what this is going to be. This is an interview. I'm not even close to qualified enough to do that. So I just wanted to make that very clear before I start that I'm not trying to pressure anybody into saying anything that they don't want to say. It's more of just a no judgment zone. Let everybody know who this person is. So without further ado, let's introduce our first guest of this podcast. It's a very historic day because I will welcome in somebody who I would say is probably one of my better friends on campus, for sure one of the first friends that I made on campus as far as somebody that I feel safe around, somebody that I can bring just about anywhere. Truly a great human being and individual, so please welcome on Garrett Chan. Garrett, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on this monumental first episode. I mean, things you said, I got to reciprocate back. I mean,
I appreciate that.
I mean, remember our first game we called together, soccer game, Skidmore Utica at the turf. I remember that.
Wow.
And you were pretty much the first guy I ever talked to, sat down with, because that was my first couple of weeks up here.
Yeah.
So, and then over the course of the semesters, it's been absolute blast.
Yeah, it really has. No, and but also, Garrett, for those of the people that might not know Garrett Chan, why don't you give everybody a little bit of a brief, summary as to what you do, who you are, just real quick, couple sentences. We'll get into it all in a little bit. So who is Garrett Chan?
All right. My name is Garrett Chan. I am currently a first semester junior here at Oswego, majoring in broadcasting mass communication with a minor in business. Of course, alongside the host of this podcast, Jacob Bradley, and also a good friend of ours, Kyle Spizak. We are on a TV show called Sports Talk, airing Tuesdays at 10:30 on WTOP 10. We also have our own podcast, Sports Talk Uncensored. So, yeah, we got a lot of different projects we do, got a lot of different things that we like to combine our interests. Big Mets fan, so there's that in terms of the sports, but yeah.
Excellent. No, it's now that I would say is just about the extent of my knowledge on you is everything that you just said there. So today I'd like to dig a little bit deeper and figure out exactly who Garrett Chan is. But once again, just a few things that I noticed that you didn't touch upon. Where are you from, Garrett? Where's the place you call home?
I call Manhattan home.
Nice.
Been there my whole life, grew up there. I just love being in the city, and when I'm up here in Oswego, it's like night and day, completely different. I basically thrive off the city energy. I just love how close everything is, the proximity of everything. But yeah, there's moments where I'm like, man, I wish I was back in the city. You know, just kind of go around to different boroughs, go to different locations. Because with New York City, I feel like the more that things change, the more they stay the same, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When I go back between semesters, some things change, but what New York City, it just remains the Big Apple, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Now, Garrett, if you had to pick one thing that you wish you could bring up with you when you come up to Oswego from Manhattan that you can't bring, what would you choose?
Oh, man. I would say the first thing that comes to mind, I have a soccer ball signed by football legend Pelé. I have it in a glass case. I wish I could bring it up here, but it's just so valuable, yeah. So dear to me. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep it here. Just kind of in a glass case. The ball's a little bit deflated just because it's been in been in a glass case for like several years. But that's probably that first thing that comes to mind.
Now, are you a big soccer fan?
So the way I got it, it's a long story.
That's fine. We got nothing but time.
Yeah. But basically, some people notice because in my one of my classes last semester, I had a whole digital essay about it. So basically, I applied for a red carpet job at a film festival in Tribeca. So that's kind of where I am in this Manhattan. So I got interviewed, and next thing you know, I got accepted to positions. And now these are like kids reporters.
Yeah.
So I was like in middle school at that time. And you have middle school kids, some elementary school kids, you know, just getting themselves into the media industry, understanding what it's like being on a red carpet, being in front of the camera. So one of the movie premieres I got to do was a documentary about Pelé.
Nice.
Pelé, Birth of a Legend. So you get to see his upbringing. You get to learn more about who he was before he was a famous soccer player, the legend he is. And it just so happened that, I kind of expected it, but I just remember being at the red carpet. There's like our station, and I hear off in the distance a loud roar and stuff. And I was like, yeah, he's here.
That's awesome.
And I got to ask him a couple questions. There's a video on YouTube about it, whole interview about it. And then after we asked the questions, we got a soccer ball signed. I was with one other person, and it was an absolute blast, something I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So would you say that that's kind of the point where you decided that this is what I'd like to do for the rest of my life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sports broadcasting has always been something that's intrigued me for quite a while now. But I think doing that red carpet thing kind of had my foot in the door, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just took off from there. It was just something I wanted to do. And I think we'll see how everything goes in the future.
Now, do you sit here right now, and I know this is a very big question to ask, but do you have any ideas or any dreams that you'd like to pursue once college is over?
Yeah, I mean, calling Mets games or just baseball games in general is a huge dream of mine. But I know a lot of sports broadcasters, you know, it's not just one sport. You see Joe Buck, Joe Davis, all those guys, Jim Nance, they're doing soccer. I mean, not soccer. What am I saying? Basketball, football, they're all that kind of stuff. So they're kind of diversifying themselves. And that's something like baseball has always been something I closely follow all my life. But I'm willing to try and explore other things.
Now, you mentioned, and as we sit here right now, you have a Mets hat on as we speak. But now the Mets, obviously, they're the local team for you. What is your earliest memory of being a Mets fan?
Oh, man. I would say first Mets game I've ever been to would probably be first thing that comes to mind. I remember the exact date, Monday, September 22nd, 2008. It was the year before. So they were playing in Shea Stadium. Mm-hmm. And 2009, that's when they tore Shea Stadium down, moved in Citi Field. So that was like, I guess, getting into the game or at the end of the season, playing that one of the final games in that stadium. So I just remember being there. Shea Stadium had those ramps that you see in front of the stadium that kind of just go left, right. So I just remember walking up there, and they played the Chicago Cubs. They lost, but that was probably the first thing that comes to mind as being a Mets fan.
Did you have a favorite player growing up?
Had to be David Wright.
Yeah.
Had to be David Wright.
Yeah, well, how could it not be, man? I mean, he was, when it comes to, at least for people our age, think of one New York Met. I feel like David Wright would be the one that comes to mind for a majority of people.
Yeah, David Wright, Jose Reyes, Carlos Beltran when he was there, Delgado, he's my brother's favorite player.
Okay.
So there's a lot of players from that 05 to 2010 range that kind of just, that's what I remember.
Now, Garrett, I know we share a similar interest in the MLB The Show games.
Yes.
So are you like me and can't play as another team other than the Red Sox, or Like, are you like that with the Mets, or do you like to dabble around with other teams while you're playing?
So what's interesting is that because MLB, because I never played MLB The Show before, this one, because it was the first time it came on Xbox. Yeah, I have an Xbox. So when it came out, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to play this. So I did Road to the Show, and I think there was an option of choosing what team you want to play. Of course, I chose the Mets.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I went up the minor league systems, got caught up in like the August of the year.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's crazy. But what's interesting is that after a while, you start to realize you're just like those baseball players that play.
Yeah.
This team's not going the right direction. I want to go a place that wants to win and is in a good position. So eventually I get traded to the White Sox.
Wow.
And I was like, it's completely unexpected. But I mean, yeah, I start off with the Mets. Next thing you know, I'm a White Sox.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, I don't have the attention span sometimes to sit there and play the full seasons. But no, I remember one time when I was really young, I played as myself in MLB The Show. I think it was like 13 or 14, MLB The Show 14. Yeah. And I came up through the Cincinnati Reds organization and was able to go up to the big leagues with the Reds, get traded to, I think, the Giants. And then I wound up a Yankee, of course, which, you know, that's not exactly the place I would have wound up enjoying to be. But I know my, with all the short porches, my home run stats went up quite a bit.
Yes, it did.
But so, Garrett, let's we talk a little bit about you being a Mets fan. As far as your parents go, or your brother you mentioned, how have they influenced you in order, just maybe not so much as just being a Mets fan, but just as the person you are today?
Yeah, so I have two brothers and a sister, all younger than me. So I'm kind of like the guy that has to support them, kind of be set an example. So that's what I do. I would say my mom has very heavily influenced me. I mean, I believe that if I'm not the person I am today, if it wasn't for her, she was the whole reason why I did the red carpet thing in the first place. Because I had that whole, people watch my digital essay. There was that time where I didn't want to do it. I was like, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do the whole interview. I'm not capable of this. And then she kind of kept pushing me, and just kind of where I am today, she consistently pushes me at the same, but she also, you know, just like every mom, wants the best for their child. So, my father, throughout high school, he drove me to various fencing tournaments. He's kind of been the guy that's always been in the bleachers watching me. So, you know, it's always good to be surrounded by great people.
Exactly.
People you can rely on. And I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, but also just having loved ones around, having good friends, good family members. That's because at the end of the day, you're not you if you're not the people you surround yourself with.
That's awesome. That's very, very important.
Yeah.
But you mentioned right there fencing. That was something you were into growing up, correct?
It started a little bit before high school.
Okay.
Because fencing was a big thing at the high school I went to. I wanted to do something different because I did baseball in middle school, and fencing is kind of that sport. It's known for people just sword fighting, you know.
Yeah.
But I tried fencing, tried something different, and freshman year I went to the tryouts. Didn't know how I was gonna do. Then I get the email from my coach because the coach was actually, that was her first year as the coach, as the head coach. And next thing you know, I get an email one night saying I'm part of the team. Now, of course, freshman year I was a bench, that kind of thing, just because there's a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors at that time. But then toward my sophomore year, a lot of seniors graduated, so there was a lot of open spots. And initially there's two weapons in fencing, is foil and epee. I was on the foil side, but once all the seniors graduated, on the epee side, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna try epee. So over that summer between freshman and sophomore year, I just practiced epee, all that stuff, and my fencing career kind of just went up from there. I don't know if they still have my stats on the website, but I was like top 20 in touches. That's when you get a point on someone. So it was my golden days, just because it was a lot of fun. And of course, it's a team sport, so you get to hang out with other people. But it was certainly an experience I'll never forget. Then junior year, I was named captain.
Awesome.
And it translated into senior year. So that's thing I'm really proud of. Of course, now over the past couple of years, I've been able to do fencing. I kind of regressed quite a bit, but it's something that I'm willing to do sometime in the future. Maybe we'll do it on the show.
Maybe that would be fun.
I talked with Kyle on one of the radio shows. I was like, you know what? Maybe we should do fencing and see how it does. See how you guys.
Yeah, for a change, we'll do something that you're actually good at.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what? Because it's certainly, you know, I come from, a suburban town where, you know, that isn't exactly I'm not saying, you know, it's a city thing, but it isn't exactly something that I ever heard people doing. What got you into fencing? What made you want to do it?
I'm trying to remember the exact details, but I know my little brother wanted to do fencing, but he never really got around to it. So I was like, you know what? He's doing it, but he doesn't really have the has that interest. So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try. Try something new. So I went to this fencing camp over the summer. It was kind of like learning how the footwork, understanding how to hold the blade and all that stuff, point control, all that stuff. So that's kind of started. I wouldn't say I was like, oh my God, I want to do fencing, that kind of thing. But I kind of just fell right into it, and it kind of just took off from there. And I would say it's remarkable how far I went over those 4 or 5 years, because I went from completely new to being pretty good at it. But then, of course, you know, the past couple of years, I haven't been able to really take the time and do it. So a little of that has rubbed off, but yeah.
Nice. No, that's very cool. So there you go. We have a lot of base knowledge on Garrett Chan. Now I'm curious to hear a few of few things that we had him prepare to do before we got in here today. But start off, Garrett, what is one positive thing going your way right now? What's a good thing that is that's going on in Garrett Chan's life at the moment?
Like what?
It can be you had a good breakfast. It can be it can be anything. What's going good for you right now?
So earlier today, it was Mets spring training game. Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer.
Yeah,
pitching in the same game. Jacob DeGrom went 3 innings. Max Scherzer finished the last 6. So that was something I've been waiting, I would say, 2 months at least, ever since they got Scherzer. But that's probably the biggest thing that happened today. I mean, I would say the fire drills have certainly taken a toll.
Yeah, we've had me and Garrett live in the same dorm complex, and we've had 3 consecutive nights after midnight with a fire drill. But so we'll see if we can make it 4 tonight, Garrett, I guess.
like I said last night, that's the prediction I'd be happy to have get wrong.
Yes, no, but no, that's awesome to hear. It certainly is, not to make this another sports podcast, but the Mets are certainly looking good if they have those two on their A game throughout. But
and if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, but we talk about, I feel like the theme so far has just been baseball and how important that has been. You know, what exactly how important has baseball been to you, Garrett?
Baseball has probably been the biggest thing since I was little. I started just doing, going into the park, throwing a catch with my brothers. I would say, because it started off, it always starts with the glove.
Yeah.
You know? And there was that moment where I was like, man, I can't catch,
Yeah.
The ball keeps falling out of the glove. But, and eventually practiced hitting. I wasn't great at it. I kept yanking. When you're a little kid, you're just trying to yank and do everything and trying to see how everything works. Toward middle school, what's interesting is that I didn't do baseball during middle school until my final year.
Wow.
And I wanted to do it, but I never really was like, I don't know if I'm good enough, that kind of thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it during my final year. I do remember getting hit a lot because, of course, when you're in that middle school, you don't have pitchers don't have the best command. Baseball isn't that standard where everyone's consistent in their throws, consistent in their at-bats. So, yeah, I just remember going around the different boroughs because there's schools that we play around. We played these games. I would bat, of course, to the bottom of the order because I'm not too good. And, of course, a guy like me, I was like 5'2", 5'3", at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not that much taller right now either, but
you're pushing what, like 5'6", 5'7"?
I would say 5'6".
Nice.
I don't remember last time I got measured or my height, but yeah, you know, when you're being that short guy, you kind of just, I wouldn't say you're vulnerable, but you're the easy out.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's the, you know, the outfield few steps in, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But when you played baseball, though, was there a certain player that you tried to emulate, or was it just try to do whatever you can do to make contact with the ball?
Yeah, I couldn't really model my game after anyone just because, you know, I wouldn't say I was that skilled or talented, but, you know, it kind of just started off with the basics, bat to ball skills, just hitting line drives. And comes to fielding, I remember a little story.
Okay.
So when I was playing with my little brother's little catch and stuff, there were two cops that came by. Now, you might be thinking, oh, cops, what's going on? But no, they came up to us and they started teaching us stuff. And they taught us the alligator trap.
Yeah.
When you're fielding ground balls, you kind of have your hand in front of the glove and then you kind of scoop it up, that kind of thing. So, yeah, they came to us, start practicing that. But I mean, for me, there were people I watched, love watching play, but I could never really emulate that.
Yeah.
So my swing was kind of just basic, basic stance, trying to get myself comfortable being able to swing at pitches. And when it keeps to being out on the field, you know, just not trying to make those flashy plays, all that stuff, just, you know, stick with the basics, doing what I can.
Nice. No, very nice. So yeah, we talked a little bit about baseball and Garrett. Before you got in here today, I asked, and you were so generous to do it, to take a quiz called the VIA Character Quiz. And before we figure out what Garrett's results are, a little bit about this quiz. It takes you about less than 15 minutes to do. How many questions was it, Garrett? It's like 96, rings a bell.
Yeah, I would say there was about 5-6 pages of 10-15 questions.
Yeah.
And so it's really simple. It's kind of just five, choose, not strongly agree, but it's like,
yeah, it's pretty much like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a lot, but it's actually, it doesn't take too long to do at all. But at the end of the quiz, it gives you a nice list of strengths and weaknesses, ranks you on based off of your answers, which category you fit in and exactly what you're strong in. So I asked, oh, and also you could find the link if you want. This isn't sponsored, but you could find the link if you'd like. www.viacharacter.org if you want to take the quiz yourself. But this should be hopefully a recurring theme as the podcasts go on. So, Garrett, you were able to take the quiz, and I asked you to come today with your top five strengths. We could start off with number five. Exactly. What is your fifth strength?
So coming in number five for me is prudence, or being very careful about one's choices. As a state sayer, not taking undue risk, not saying or doing things that might later be regretted.
Okay.
I would say that fairly represents me. I like to make my decisions very calculated. Certainly make a pros and cons list, but when it comes to making any decision, big or small, it's always good to understand what the outcome is, not just for me, but for the other people, and how, if I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to for me.
Now, do you think that having that strength has helped you along the way?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I try not to make a lot of stupid decisions, but of course we always run into that thing where
exactly
you wish you didn't do something. But overall, I just say I would like to be, I consider myself calculated, understanding the pros and cons, but understanding the outcomes and realizing that what I do can impact what I do later on.
Yeah, so you really go through just about every possible option before you make a choice, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and it may sound like a long, tedious process.
Yeah.
People may not just have the time, but I believe that if you can just take a few seconds just to consciously think about every outcome, you'll put yourself in a good situation.
Yes, and I think we can both agree that you've been put in a pretty good situation along the way. So, Garrett, what is your what's your fourth strength?
Number four is fairness.
Okay.
Treating all people the same according to notions of fairness and justice, not letting feelings bias decisions about others, giving everyone a fair chance. We talked about it a little bit last night when we were outside in the fire drill. I do have a high tolerance for people. I kind of just, you know, everyone's different. Everyone kind of has that unique characteristics that people like, people don't like. So you kind of just treat everyone as the same. We're all human beings at the end of the day. So I just keep an even keeled mind, understand that we're all different, but at the same time, you got to look at everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah. I think that's words that everybody can take away from that. That's a very good outlook on things, Garrett. What about number three? What was your third strength?
Number three was honesty. Something honesty. I truly value. Speaking the truth, but more broadly presenting oneself in a genuine and acting in a sincere way, being without a pretense, taking responsibility for one's feelings and actions. One of the classes I'm taking is an honors course. So one of the books we're reading was The Tao of Pooh. And it talked about honesty, simplicity, being accountable for yourself. And that's something I truly pride myself on. And if I think being honest, if you're honest with other people, you're going it could be reciprocated. It could be same can happen. And you build that trust. And I truly believe communication and trust is always great, whether it's friendships, relationships, all that stuff. And I would say, because it's interesting, I'm taking a philosophy class right now.
Okay.
And one of the things we were learning about was Immanuel Kant, and he talked about whether it's good to lie in certain situations. Now, of course, lying, you do it to protect other people sometimes, but as long as you're being honest, transparent, that's something that everyone – it's really tough to do.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. No one's perfect. But if you can be transparent, open with people, share your feelings, thoughts, and other people, you're going to create everlasting relationships
exactly.
and friendships. And that's the important thing, especially when everyone's so divided. Everyone kind of has their own perspectives. Everyone has their own schemas, the right word?
Yeah.
Am I using that wrong?
I think so.
Okay. But everyone has their own preconceptions about other people.
Yeah.
You kind of just let yourself say the things that are true to your heart. You're going to go a long way.
And once again, words of wisdom from Garrett Chan. No, I love it. Certainly, you know, something that is so important. I think I took this quiz actually, and I'll take it again before so I can refresh my memory on it a bit. But I actually had taken a class through Oswego that introduced me to this quiz, and a lot of the concepts that that we'll be speaking on in the podcast throughout as the episodes go on. But so I remember honesty was one of the high ones that I had as well. I just think, you know, and not to make this about me, but I just believe, much like you, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, if you're honest with other people, people are going to be honest with you. And you know, I also have the belief that there's really, truly not anything that's necessary to lie about.
Yeah.
I understand what you mentioned about, sometimes you lie to protect other people's feelings and you know, that's certainly justifiable, but at the same time, you got to wonder, okay, is the Band-Aid rip going to hurt as much if it's elongated or if we just take it off right now? But Garrett, what is your, what's your second strength?
Number two is judgment, which kind of ties in with the prudence aspect, thinking things through. But it also entails not judging everyone, not judging a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Basically, just because a person does something or says something, it doesn't mean that's what they are. You got to judge them fairly, judge them honestly. And it's okay to make these judgments and but so, as long as you can understand that there's more to the story than just what is said, what is done.
No, very nice. We're kind of seeing a theme where they're kind of tying in to one another. And now the big question, what is what's your number one strength according to the VIA character quiz?
Number one that came up was hope. Being optimistic, seeing the good things. And that's also something accurately represents me. That's basically, you always have to look at the positive of everything. And right now, with so much negativity and so much all the darkness, that stuff, you just got to take a step back and realize that not everything's going to go your way. There's some days where it's going to be worse than others. But as long as you can take one positive thing, something that made you feel happy, whether it's a brief moment, whether it translated through the whole day, as long as you're kind of being optimistic. And you also have to consider that you just hope that things work out in the future. Like we all, as college students, we always have a bright outlook. We always hope that we get to where we want to be. But it all starts with one step, taking one step at a time, understanding that there's going to be obstacles, there's things that come along the way. But you got to just remain hopeful, optimistic, because so life's going to throw you a curveball.
Exactly.
But as long as you can time the fastball and then rope it, hit it out the park, it'll exactly. be fine.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome to tie everything back together with baseball. So it seems to me that you're not at all surprised with your results on the test.
No.
You'd say they're fairly accurate.
I would say I was surprised with what came toward the bottom.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You want to go over those quickly?
So I kind of just start with the, because there's 24 in total,
mm-hmm.
and number 24 was love. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I do care about, deeply care about my friends, family, exactly. and all that stuff. But I kind of do understand because, relationships are very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I would not, it kind of ties with the honesty thing, being too honest, too open, and that betrayal aspect, you know, it's something that lurks in the back of your mind. And that's why I kind of just, you know, I like to think myself as being independent, kind of just being my own person, yeah. not trying to meet the needs of other people, that kind of thing, being with someone, because you're not happy with someone if you're not happy yourself, that kind of thing.
Yes.
You can't be happy with whoever you're around if you're kind of just let yourself down. So I believe if you prioritize yourself first, then you can understand your weaknesses, improve every day. Then you go a long way. If you do decide to go into a friendship or relationship, whatever, it all starts with yourself.
No, that's awesome. I agree with you 100%. I always say, in the end, the only person that needs to be happy is yourself.
Exactly.
And yeah, right there proves it. I mean, you know, it's okay that it's down at the bottom. you know, I'm sure I don't exactly remember my results of the test, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that would probably be close to me at the bottom. So Garrett, I also wanted to ask you, because when I took it, I had realized some correlations as far as the way I view myself and the way I look in others,
mm-hmm.
And how I'd like to, you know, if say, you know, you're looking for somebody to, you know, whether it be a friend or you know, a significant other,
mm-hmm.
you want to share some of those common traits. Now, are those five that we spoke about, your five strengths, are those strengths that you'll necessarily look in others, whether when you're trying to create a relationship, or are those not exactly as important to you and other people?
I think it's always good to see what similarities you have with other people. I think honesty is going to be the foundation of every relationship, every friendship. Oh my gosh,
sorry.
But yeah, I do think that some of the qualities, as long as you understand it for yourself, and sometimes it's some of these qualities, especially these top five things, it may be something that you just look for in other people.
Yeah.
Because you find safety, you find comfort, and finding people that are similar to you, that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes you just got to be open to other things, maybe other qualities that you may not be on the top of the list. Maybe you'll start to develop them. Maybe you'll start to improve on them as you do start meeting other people.
No, that's very, very, very true that you said that. I want to apologize because I just tried to move the microphone. It's a very awkward setup trying to speak to Garrett while also trying to make sure everything is still running all good and properly. But no, it's I agree with you 100% on that. But I wanted to ask you kind of a deep, heavy loaded question. You mentioned early on how because you're the oldest, you feel the need to you know, to set the example for your younger siblings. Do you yeah. think that those five strengths have helped you set a pretty decent example for your younger siblings?
Yeah, but I also realized that they're not going to be exactly who I am.
Yeah,
I can't be always be there, always be say this is what you got to be, that kind of thing. But as long as you kind of just have that great relationships, understanding that, you know, siblings are fun to be around.
Yes.
I can definitely say that for personal experience. And yes, there's going to be ups and downs. You're going to get into arguments, but at the end of the day, they're your family. You're going to stick by them.
Yeah.
As long as life goes.
Yeah. The friends you're given at birth.
Yes.
For life. So mm-hmm. no, I 100% agree with that. I have a younger brother myself. And yeah, I do truly enjoy, although it's not as often that we see them anymore being yeah. up here, but, whenever I do go home, you know, the nice car rides, it's always fun to have even if it's just a 5-10 minute conversation, it still is always a good time to know what's going on in
yeah.
in his life. And I'm sure you can attest to that as well.
I think once you like just go to college, you start moving away from them, you start to reflect and realize the time, the memories you kind of have with them, relishing everything, even if it may be good, it may be bad, that kind of thing. But you just look back at the things you got to do together, the memories you guys we shared, and it's beautiful. But you also got to realize that life goes on.
It does.
Everyone goes their separate ways, but as long as you stay in touch, that's what matters.
No, 100%. I agree with you. I mean, I think that's just been the theme of the whole entire thing, is that I'm just agreeing with exactly what you're saying. But nah, so I wanted to ask you one final question before we let you go here. What, you know, you talked about your mom being somebody that has influenced you in a way. Do you think some of her, like if you sat her down and had her take this test as well, do you think a lot of your values would be similar? Like, do you think you've picked up some of your strengths through her, or do you think it's just stuff that you've noticed as you've gone along, as you've grown up?
I think it's a combination of both, but I would certainly say if my mom were to take the test, it would have some of the same similarities. But I think life experiences, they're different for everyone. Yeah. You're going to go through these different moments, these different things that are going to shape you in ways you don't expect. I would definitely say that there have been things that I got to do that may not be the same for my mom or maybe the same for other people. And that's why some of these qualities are up there. And you kind of just learn who you are and what kind of person you're going to be.
No, that is 100% true. You know, you shape, obviously, I like to think of it as like an empty, like, crock pot, and how you'll have all these different ingredients filled in.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you make the meal. And, you know, you talk about being around, whether it's growing up in the big city, whether it's, you know, growing up with, you know, three siblings, or, you know, the influence your mother has had on you or your parents, whether it's the relationships you've built through, whether it's through the TV station, whether it's through fencing, whether it's through baseball.
Yeah.
That all shapes you out to the way that you become. So
absolutely.
And obviously we haven't yet closed the lid on that, on the crock pot either, but Garrett, obviously I very much appreciate you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This has been an absolute pleasure to really get to know a lot more about Garrett, know what he values, all this and that. So before I let you go, where can the listeners find you on social media?
I do have Instagram. Man, I don't even remember my
username.
Yeah,
it's hard to memorize, isn't it?
Let's see. So yeah, you guys can drop a follow. G_ChanPBCJ. PBCJ is my gamer tag.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you could play some games. You could also play a little bit of Xbox with Garrett if you'd like.
Yeah. Snapchat I don't use quite often.
Yeah, you don't have to drop that one if you don't want.
Of course, Twitter, G_Chan_WTOP, because, you know, I have my own Twitter account. Kind of work with the station, you know. Kind of goes in tandem.
It does. No, I was going to plug mine, but much like Garrett, I don't exactly memorize them, but I will write down, or I will let you know at right now as my Twitter boots up where you can find me. You can find me on Twitter at @JacobBradley_. Currently, my tag is Professor Jacob Bradley. Don't be fooled by that. You can watch Sports Talk on Tuesdays to figure out exactly what's going on there. But Garrett, you know, do you have any last things you want to say before we let you go?
You know, doing this whole quiz, doing this podcast with you, something that I do every day, every morning, every afternoon, whatever, look for motivational quotes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Look for advice, because other people, you know, Steve Harvey, he has these motivational things, these pieces of advice he does before shows. And so that's just clips of it on social media, on YouTube, all that kind of thing. And just taking, you know, a couple seconds just watching it. And I think after you watch that, you listen to that, you just kind of look at life a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just pushes you to keep going. You may have like a paper due that same night, but, you know, sometimes having those words of wisdom is going to help you stay focused, be optimistic, and just take one step at a time.
Couldn't agree with you more there, Garrett. And for me, I want to thank anybody that's been listening from the start. And if this is your first time listening to any type of podcast by myself, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity and checking it out. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure today. Hopefully we'll have a lot more of these in the future. So I've been Jacob Bradley. As for Garrett Chan, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. And I will leave you, much like Garrett said, I thought he was going to steal my thunder. I'll leave you with a quote. You attract the energy that you give off. Spread good vibes, think positively, and enjoy life. Thank you very much for listening, and stay safe.